Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
Lakers Talk is on.
Is on.
From the winning tradition of the Los Angeles Lakers.
You got 19 or 20 years to play with the Lakers.
Yeah, 19 or 20 at least.
It's over, and the most valuable player is Magic Johnson.
Kobe underneath gives a shot. Jack slammed out. Sends it to Kareem. Skyhook up and good.
To future legends of the purple and gold.
LeBron on a breakaway, and the first basket of his Laker career is a tomahawk dunk.
There is not a better duo in the NBA than LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
It's going to be fun for sure. I'll put our roster up against anybody.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
Lakers got the Orlando Magic tomorrow. 9 wins in a row for the Lakers. Tomorrow hits 50% done with the season. That's where we are, Michael Funches. After tomorrow's win against the Orlando Magic, Lakers would be 34-7. And we're exactly 41 games in. We'll have 50% of the season done.
Would have thought they would have 34 wins at the midway point.
I called it. I just say that every time.
Well, let me take you to Vegas with me.
Yeah, every time that there's something good that happens, I just say I call it. And, of course, I was nowhere near calling that.
We're going to take you to get some lottery numbers in.
No, it's been impressive. But we got much bigger things right now on our plate. It's time for Shootout. What's going on, Funches?
What's up with you, man?
How we doing?
Good,
everything going good?
Yeah, man.
Kind of busy running around, or it's all good?
It's all good, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a long day here at work, but, you know, ready to do some Shootout.
All right, Shootout is spun. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
Shootout,
yeah.
You know, now it's like...
I mean, before it wasn't.
But
now it's now. Now we're big time.
We got Brad Wallace.
We're big time now.
Brad Wallace now. Go to my guy, Brad Wallace, and his team of experienced trial attorneys. They've recovered over $100 million in settlements and jury verdicts. When Wallace wins, you win. Call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com so Wallace can win for you. Let's do some Shootout.
I love it.
Well, thank you, LeBron.
Hey, LBJ, thank you, man.
I love
I know it's almost 8 o'clock. I appreciate you tuning into the broadcast. Thanks, LBJ.
Damian Lillard. We start with Damian Lillard.
Never heard of him.
Might have came up with the best idea to save the All-Star weekend from not being good anymore. A one-on-one tournament.
Okay.
Lillard mentioned that
What is the way they play where it's just like next guy, you score and...
Yeah. I forgot what it's called, too.
That is kind of the thing.
That's what they want to do. They want
to
bring that
to 21.
Yeah, something like that. They want to bring it all the way to All-Star Weekend. Lillard mentioned that it could be a thing where players challenge each other. Like, you know, they might do like wrestling-style promos where you see like LeBron challenge KD or something like that. You see Lillard challenging... Kyrie Irving or something like that. So, Alan, would you be down for a one-on-one tournament during All-Star Weekend?
Oh, 100%. The only thing is, would they do it? You know, would players do it? And how hard would they play? Because I think they would be just like the All-Star game, right? They don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
I got to imagine they're not going to take one-on-one too seriously. But I think it would be very unique. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see, I don't know, LeBron and AD going one-on-one against each other. Like, how much fun would that be? Or...
You think they'll go all out, though?
No, I don't think they go all out.
Anyway.
I mean, you can't. You know who always plays, I feel like every time, not every time, but there are a lot of times, AD and Rondo go one-on-one at Lakers Shootaround.
Really?
Yeah. And El Segundo.
It was like LeBron backing him down in a post? What's going
on? No, no,
no. I got to see this matchup.
No.
Rondo
and AD go at each other. And AD doesn't do too much posting up, but it's kind of fun to watch those two go at it. They got great chemistry, by the way. You could tell their time in New Orleans together was very meaningful. I think that has a lot to do with why both these guys, or at least why Rondo is on this roster as well.
Like, what's one one-on-one matchup you'd want to see?
Giannis and AD.
Wow.
Give me Giannis and AD, or give me who'd be a good matchup against Harden.
Man.
Harden and Kawhi.
Oh, that's the ultimate offense versus the ultimate defense.
Harden, if he misses one shot, he'd lose because you know he's not going to play defense.
Probably not.
Do you know what tonight is? Tonight is a very important night. You know what tonight is?
What is that?
Tonight is Cavs Nation.
Cavs Nation.
Tonight we stand up for Cavs Nation. Let me tell you why. Two reasons why.
yesterday, Cavs Nation were nice enough to let us win by 29 points.
Yeah.
But this is also a Cavs team that won at Denver before. Mm-hmm. We can take a Denver loss. And tonight they're across the street at Staples Center taking on the Clippers. So everybody stand up, Cavs Nation.
Let me mention that the Clippers haven't been doing so well lately. They're 7-6 in the last 13.
Yeah, they're a weird team. I mean, I guess they just really, really don't care about the regular season.
Yeah, and they're sending out Paul George tonight, I think.
They feel like you just start the postseason, you roll out that ball, and we'll take our chances. Yeah. That's what they feel. And by the way, you know, if Lakers are the class of the Western Conference, you're 2-0 against the Lakers, maybe that gives them more confidence to be able to do that.
I hate that confidence, man.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you, LeBron. It is ridiculous.
LeBron, what did I say? I didn't even say anything.
All right, well, last week, Kendrick Perkins said on SportsCenter that Russell Westbrook is the greatest Oklahoma City Thunder player ever.
Yes.
And that rattled a cage of one Kevin Durant. KD went...
That thing blew up.
I know. KD went at Perkins with tweets like, yeah, our starting center Kendrick Perkins averaged a whopping 2-3 during the finals. You played hard, though, champ. LOL. The two went back and forth on Twitter and ended with Perk basically calling KD a coward for signing with the Warriors.
Yeah, I didn't get personal at all. Definitely didn't get personal between those two
and
teams.
And let me get this, Alan. Let me say this, too. Also that day, KD was going back and forth with Knicks fans on Twitter about him signing with the Nets and how if he wins in New York, he's not really winning in New York, if you know what I mean.
Let me say something real quick about KD. He might be the greatest Twitter... When he gets into his Twitter raids...
Yeah.
Like, I love that he's a player of his caliber and stoops down to, you know, the Twitter world.
You should have saw some of these, tweets that he was, you know, replies that he's going to Knicks fans with.
Listen, this is what he's saying in his mind. He's saying is, look, I'm still a person, right? If you say something about me, I got no problem going right back out on Twitter and coming right back at you.
It's almost like I commend him and, like, I hate him for doing it because, like, I commend him for doing it for just, you know, the fact that, you know, celebrities, people say stuff about celebrities and athletes
all the time,
every day.
They're not allowed to say
anything,
right?
And then he says something back, you know, he's going back at the people that are talking to him, trash about him.
Tweet KD right now. Good chance in the next 5 minutes he'll respond.
I don't want to do that.
No, I'm kidding.
But anyway, like, but then again, like, it shows that, the immaturity of KD going back at these people, too.
I would say this, the stuff with Perkins, that shows that there's something there with OKC. You know what I mean? Like, he still feels a way about how much they hate him for leaving and choosing his free agency and all the years that he gave to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Look, I'm with Perk on this.
Me too.
I did the pregame show with Michael Thompson the day after they had that little exchange. And MT has a completely different view on it. MT is saying, look, when you... You get a point in your career, stage in your career, where you can pick and choose where to work. And I understand that MT's saying that, but I just look at it from a competitive perspective. What I was trying to explain to Michael Thompson is, like, MT, they had the Warriors. They should have beat the Warriors in that 7-game set when they were up 3-1. They should have closed it out in 6 games. And if it wasn't for, you know, a lot of it had to do with KD, you know, poor possessions down at the end of the game, 2.5 minutes left, whatever it was, when they had a 6-7 point lead or whatever the case was. What I was saying is, how can you as a competitor lose that game and decide to go play with the team that beat you? Yeah. I just can't see it.
Unprecedented, man.
I just can't see it. And I told him,
and I don't think it's ever going to happen again. Where
he's the greatest Thunder to ever play. No question about that.
You think so?
Oh, no, no question about it.
I think Russ is.
No, Russ is Mr. Thunder.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
but the best player to ever put on.
The best player to ever play with the Oklahoma City Thunder is Kevin Durant.
Now, do we count the Seattle years as well?
It's up to you. You know, you can or you don't have to. But at the end of the day, what I was trying to explain to MT, he can make any move that he wants. But I didn't respect the move. I respected Russell Westbrook saying, all right, well, I'll just roll up my sleeves and I'll continue to go to work here.
That's weird.
All right, man. We're going to go next one.
Not that weird, LeBron.
I know.
We're just having a conversation,
man. Yeah, what is...
He's so critical
Durant,
about this show.
I think he's talking about Durant,
okay,
how weird
he is. Okay, never mind.
Well, anyway, NBC Sports is reporting that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson will be reevaluated next month to see if they can come back this season to play.
Mm-hmm.
Curry broke his hand earlier this season, right at the beginning of the season, and we all know Klay tore his ACL in the finals last year. Now, should Golden State just let him sit or let him play?
I got to – well, Clay's injury, you'd have to imagine he doesn't play this year. I mean, you have to imagine.
Why even entertain that idea?
Curry, maybe you play just because you want to get back into rhythm. And I don't really have the answer for you. I think it's almost similar to the Lakers, right? If you're healthy, you play. But I know what you're talking about. There's nothing to play for, right? So you're not in a position anymore like you were. Lakers shut down LeBron the last seven games of the season last year.
Yeah.
The season was over. If you're Clay or Steph, aren't you all? Isn't all you're concerned about is getting healthy, getting right, and getting ready for next season? Because next year
they're
the Warriors are right back
in the
mix.
Yeah, they're back in the mix already.
Right back in the mix.
They're going to have a number one pick, basically, yep. And then you're going to have the same players.
They're going to have a number one pick and D'Angelo Russell to go ship in a trade, like I've been saying, for 4 months now. And then they got all their players
exactly,
coming back.
Exactly. And then, you know, a free agent X, a free agent Y that comes to the Warriors next year.
You don't need a free agent. I'm telling you, you take D'Angelo Russell and that top three pick that you have, you're going to get a good player to put with Clay, Steph, and Draymond.
Yeah, well, I'm in agreement with you, man. They should not play at all. They should just sit.
There's just no need.
Yeah, get that number one pick and just, you know, see where everything goes.
I mean, we're going to see. We'll see.
Well, we'll see.
See.
I mean,
we'll see.
We just said that, LeBron. I don't understand why you're repeating everything we're saying.
All right. Well, even though he's recovering from a broken finger, did you see that ugly broken finger that Joel Embiid had?
Yeah,
that
didn't look good.
Oh, my God. I had to turn away from the screen.
And they were showing it on TV so casually. I'm like, stop showing the replay. I saw his finger is, like, not connected to his hand.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, Joel Embiid announced today he will launch his first signature shoe with Under Armour.
Okay.
Officially dubbed the Under Armour Embiid 1, and it will come out later this year, I think sometime in October or November or something. Probably on the cusp of the next season or whatever. Now, only 17 current NBA players have signature shoes, Alan. Can you name me six of them?
Okay, say that last part one more time.
Now, only 17 current NBA players have signature shoes,
okay.
Which is shoes that are named after them,
okay.
That whatever.
All right, let's give it a shot. Ready?
All right, here we go.
LBJ.
There's one.
Kyrie has a signature shoe.
There's one. There's another. There's two.
Damian Lillard has a signature
shoe. There's three. The Lillard.
Luka now has... Or is that too early for Luka? The Jordan brand? Maybe he doesn't. Okay, there's three. Giannis has a signature shoe.
Yes, he does. The Freak 1
from
Nike.
Steph Curry has a signature shoe.
The Curry, yes.
That's five. Harden has a signature shoe.
There you go. There's your six, man. There's your six, man. I'm proud of you, man.
Who else? Let's see if we get to 10 real quick. Let's think about this. All right, what other teams are good out there? Nobody on Boston has a signature shoe, right?
No, I don't think anybody does.
Let's see here.
How about starting across the street?
Ah, Kawhi. Paul George? They both have?
Both?
All right, that's it. That's all. I don't get this whole Clippers stuff. Let's keep going.
One more. Let's. He plays for the Utah Jazz.
Donovan Mitchell.
There you go.
Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles has a signature shoe with
and
with
one
Jordan
more. We
Brand.
Just mentioned him in the last one. Mr. OKC Thunder.
Okay.
Who is that?
Russell Westbrook.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, man. You did better than I thought you would have.
Yeah,
this, man.
You know, look, shoes. I'm a shoes guy. I own four pairs of shoes.
All right, but
I'm not a shoes guy at all. I don't know any of that stuff.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, Rupon. Now, so remember a couple weeks ago when that guy at Staples Center hit a half-court shot for $100,000?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they had him on the third chair, too, on our broadcast.
They did. Ireland and MT, before you knew it, and Bronny, they had him on the broadcast. It was
like,
great.
Right away. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happened in New York at a Knicks game about a week ago, but what a catch. Instead of giving Anthony Peterson, who was a guy that shot the half-court shot in New York, $100,000, the Knicks gave him $1,000 worth of scratchers.
Excuse me?
They gave him $1,000.
He had a half-court shot?
He had a half-court shot.
And he got $1,000
worth
of scratchers. Okay.
Yeah. And then Peterson said he only won around $500 from those scratchers that he scratched.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me mention, Alan, that the Knicks are worth $4 billion.
That's not a smart sponsorship.
And are the number one NBA team on a fr- that, well, that, what a franchise
that,
is worth.
That looks bad for the sponsorship. Like, I'm assuming Lotto
yeah, exactly.
is the sponsor.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you gotta like say, okay, hey, you're winning at least $25,000
now,
or
what,
if the scratchers exceed that, then take
what
that.
What should
amount.
Happen? What should happen? What should the Knicks do? Should they give them more money? Some ticks to
they
a
should
game?
Change the promotion.
Like, this is ridiculous, man.
That promotion is not good.
I was outraged when I saw this story.
I didn't know about that, but I will
like,
tell you
Homeboy
this.
Like, Homeboy in LA won $100,000, but
let
the
me
guy
tell you
in New York wins $1,000 worth of scratches.
Does it not make sense that happened with the New York Knicks and that New York Knicks franchise? It all makes sense. Actually, they should do nothing. I love it. It fits perfect.
Like, they
got to
give
Knicks.
Them something, dude. Like, they got to give them $10,000. Something, man. Some
yeah,
tickets to a game. I don't know, man.
They got to do
they
something.
They can't just give them $500 for making a half-court shot.
No. You can't do that. I would say they got to give them season tickets the rest of the year.
I would
rest
love
of the
it.
Year.
Yeah. Why not?
About 20 games, 20 home games left. Give them season
yeah,
tickets
and
the rest of the year.
They're probably going to lose 19 of them, so let them,
there you
let,
go.
Them, let them have them.
There you go. No, I like that. They got to do something.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, man. They got to do something. Give them some money or some season tickets, man. Come on, James Dolan.
Tie game, down one, or whatever the case may be. I live for those moments.
Thank you, LeBron.
I give the ball to Funches, personally, but okay.
All right, man. That's all I got for you, brother.
All right, Funches. Thank you, man. Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation. Talk some more Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Get his thoughts on these few games left in the month of January. And I'll ask the same question that I was asking Laker fans. Who has the edge right now, the Lakers or the Clippers? Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA 710. Lakers got the Orlando Magic tomorrow. Keep emphasizing this. 50% of the season done by tomorrow. That's it. 50%. Which is crazy to actually think that already Lakers sitting at 33-7, a chance to be 34-7. Joining Lakers Talk right now is the man himself. The man, the myth, the legend. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. Trevor, thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Wow, Alan, what an introduction.
Yeah, you know, look.
Man, and appreciate you having me.
Look, Trev, we know you're grinding and making it happen over there at Lakers Nation. So, look, we gave you a title now. We gave you a title. Trev, I want to start off with this. I had Jared Dudley on a little bit earlier in the show, and it's kind of interesting. Jared Dudley, by the way, is just a great interview. He opens up. He definitely has a future in the broadcast world when it's all said and done. But Dudley mentioned a couple different times he was giving credit to Pelinka. He was giving credit to head coach Frank Vogel. But I'm going to stay on coach for a quick second. Do you think coach gets enough credit? I mean, when we talk about this Lakers team and we talk about where they're at and a chance to win an NBA championship, you remember what happened when the announcement was made that coach was going to be the head coach of the Lakers and where we sit today. You think he gets enough credit?
I mean, I'm going to say no. Like, I try to bring him up as much as I can, but naturally the focus is going to be on LeBron. It's going to be on Anthony Davis. The other night against the Thunder, the focus was on, you know, the bench players and all of that. That's really the way it should be. I think for a coach, the fact that we're not talking about him is actually a good sign, though, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
The things that Pelinka is doing, the things that Vogel is doing are things that are leading to wins. And because of that, no one's talking about Jason Kidd taking his job or anything. And that's what we thought we would all be talking about by this point, that he would be on the hot seat. But the fact that he seems to be pretty bulletproof at that point, I think that's a credit to him. And that really the fact that nobody's talking to him is actually, or talking about him, is actually a good sign.
Yeah, that is, I guess that's a compliment in the world of sports when the head coach is not being referenced after every game. But I do think, you know, from a credit perspective, that game against the Thunder I thought was a perfect example. I did the post-game show that night, and I'm just kind of sitting there to myself. I'm baffled. I'm like, dang, nobody thought, everybody thought this would just be a game that you just mailed in. I don't think the coach thought that. I don't think the players thought that. And I was trying to give as much credit as I could to the coach because I felt like he had these guys properly prepared. So we'll give him his credit as much as we can on our platforms and just go from there. I asked Laker fans this question yesterday, and then we just kind of gone back and forth so far during the show. Who do you think's got the edge right now? When you look at where the Lakers are, 33-7, best record in the NBA, or best record in the Western Conference. They have a 5-game lead over the second-place team, and I know there's a bunch of teams kind of clogged between 2 and 5. Clippers are 2-0 against the Lakers this season and probably think in their mind, you can have the better record, but we know when we face you, we've beat you both occasions. Who would you say has the edge between the Lakers and the Clippers right now?
I mean, I think just because the competition between the Lakers and the Clippers right now is just between those two teams and maybe the Milwaukee Bucks and whatever other teams you want to throw into the championship mix, whether that's the Denver Nuggets or Philadelphia 76ers or Rockets or whoever you want to put in there. It's like their own little league within a league right now that we're seeing take place. So I would think the Clippers probably have a little bit of the edge just because they do have those two wins over the Lakers, and you're looking at the rest of the wins that they've racked up, and you think, okay, well, they've had some nice victories, but do you really give the Lakers all that much credit for beating, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers or something like that? Probably not. So the Clippers would point to the games where they played head-on as the ones that actually matter. And as far as their own record goes, they can say, look, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have had a number of injuries, and you guys can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes here. Number of injuries / load management situations. So they haven't even played all that much together. So from the mental side of things, yeah, look, the Clippers probably have the edge, but who knows? When they meet up next time, I thought in their Christmas Day meeting, the Lakers were the better team, except for the final 5-6 minutes. If the Lakers come out there and are the better team in their next meetup, and the Lakers get the win, then that could flip around very, very quickly.
So, by the way, I think there's something to that because I do feel like, and I've pointed this out a couple times, the end of that game, Lakers and the Clippers, I thought it was one of those situations. Lakers were relying way too much on the three. I don't know if LBJ was 100% healthy, but he didn't look healthy. I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses. Lakers are 0-2 to the Clippers, no question about it. But it's not like you felt walking away from that game, oh, the Clippers are unbeatable or the Lakers have no chance, where I have had that feeling when the Lakers have played the Denver Nuggets or the Lakers have played some of these other teams that are supposed to compete in the West. I'm like, yeah, that squad has no chance against the Lakers in a 7-game set. I don't feel that at all against the Clippers.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Alan. I don't look at the Clippers team and think they are invincible or anything like that. They're good, and I love that there's so much contrast between the two teams in terms of the perimeter defense of the Clippers versus the interior defense of the Lakers and the grit and grind mantra that the Clippers have had and compared to the Hollywood glamour of the Lakers. And all that. They're an interesting contrast. It would be a really fun matchup if the two teams meet up in the playoffs. But I agree. I don't look at this Clippers team and think, oh, they're unbeatable. This isn't the Warriors with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green or anything like that.
Yeah, that's the key to this season. There is no super team. Lakers are, I guess, in a sense, Lakers, Clippers, and let's say the Milwaukee Bucks are the three teams right now. You're just assuming, okay, that's the elite of the NBA, but all three of those teams can win an NBA championship. You know, it's not like it was in the past where you felt, okay, that Miami Heat with LeBron or that, like you mentioned, the KD team with the Golden State Warriors. It is kind of interesting because the conversation these last couple weeks, there's been a lot of chatter. Naturally, this is going to happen whether you're a team in contention or you're a team maybe looking to sell some of your assets and build for the future. What do you think of this Lakers roster right now? Do you think something's missing? Do you hope that Rob Pelinka makes some kind of move before the NBA trade deadline? Or, no, let's keep the roster as is and see if we could just add somebody from the buyout market.
Yeah, see, I think that there is something missing, Alan. I think you're definitely right there. There's something missing, and specifically, I think those two things are being a reserve guard that can run the offense and generate open looks when LeBron James isn't on the floor. And you need another wing defender that can help you match up with guys like, you know, Kawhi and Paul George and your Jimmy Butlers and all the big high-scoring wings in the league because you can't ask like a KCP to do that. We've seen that doesn't work. That's not even fair to KCP. So, I do think the Lakers need some additions, but I won't go in and say that, oh, they need a trade or, hey, it's time to trade Kyle Kuzma in order to find some of these pieces. I think that depending on the way the buyout market shakes out, it is possible for them to fill the holes that they have without having to trade any players away. They could find guys on the buyout market that could make it work.
Yeah, that's what makes this stage of the season so fascinating. I started off the show, I talked about Pelinka, and I was giving him his praise and his credit for where the Lakers are. Obviously, he got that extension, but then I was cautiously saying, like, look, you don't get trophies for 40 games in. These next couple of weeks might be the most critical stage for Pelinka. Think about how many teams right now are going to try and catch up to the Lakers in the Western Conference or in the NBA in general. Think about how many teams are going to be competing for those buyout players that you and I are kind of referencing to. The job is just starting if you're Rob Pelinka. And Trev, I don't feel like this is a stretch when I say these next couple of weeks can determine whether you win an NBA championship or not. That's how critical I think these front office moves will be to make sure that this roster is in the best position to compete for that chip.
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, the Toronto Raptors that landing Marc Gasol midseason last year made a huge difference, right, in them eventually winning a championship. So this can for sure make an impact on who wins at the end of the day. And look, you know, there's going to be a little bit of pressure here because there's a lot of teams in the NBA right now
competing
from a lot of different sources that feel like they are that one piece away or one piece away from making the playoffs. There's a lot more buyers at this trade deadline than sellers, and that's going to make things even more difficult for Rob Pelinka to go find that piece. And you know, Alan, that the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Jazz, all these other teams, they are going to be extremely motivated going out there, and a lot of them have advantages over the Lakers in the form of draft picks that they can offer up in a trade. So Pelinka is going to have to really pull a rabbit out of the hat here if he's going to pull off a trade that's going to push the Lakers up into this point where we would see them as the standalone favorite to win a championship.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, why we have this conversation is you are hoping Pelinka puts this this team in a position where they are the standalone favorite. That doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win an NBA championship. That doesn't mean other circumstances can play out. But if you're the Jazz or you're the Denver Nuggets or the Houston Rockets, you can't stand pat. If you stand pat, you know that you don't have enough to beat the Lakers or you don't have enough to beat the Clippers. That's my opinion. Obviously, I could be wrong, but that is my opinion. So they're going to be aggressive, and the Lakers are going to be trying to do everything to obviously improve their roster. What do you think of the bench and the role players right now? What are some of the strengths you feel like we have from this bench and some of the role players, and what do you feel like is still kind of missing? And I'm not even talking about what to go get, just in general, what we have right now, what do you like, and what are you a little concerned about?
Well, I think the bench players acquitted themselves fairly well after we were coming down on them quite a bit because they kept losing those leads every time LeBron James was out. That was a common theme that we were seeing. I think that what they do have, though, is they've got some defensive presences. You've got, you know, Alex Caruso rates out as one of the better defensive guards in the NBA. Dwight Howard has done some great things there off the bench. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has played some excellent minutes off the bench for the Lakers. Heck, we're even seeing Jared Dudley, who you were talking about earlier, coming in and making some nice defensive plays. So I'm pretty pleased with what we've seen on that end of the floor. The issue for them is shot creation. Mm-hmm. Can they find somebody who can generate offense, and whether it looks for themselves or looks for other people, when LeBron isn't on the floor? And that's been a year-long struggle for them. And so they need to find something. Because at some point in the playoffs, he's not going to be able to play all 48 minutes, and you can't have those games where the bench comes in and they give up a quick run, and suddenly a 12-point lead is down to a 2 or 3-point lead, and LeBron's got to come back into the game. You need a bench unit that can keep things steady and keep things at least even. If they can play even with the opponents, then that's a big win for the Lakers. So I do think that's what they need to find. They've got to get something in there that's going to that's going to run an offense when LeBron isn't on the floor. And I'm not, you know, we went into the season hoping it would be Rondo, and I can't say based on what we've seen over the course of the entire season that he's really the answer there.
If you want great Lakers content, at Trevor_Lane, he's a senior writer for Lakers Nation. Trev, thanks for taking some time hopping on the show, and we'll do this again soon. All right, bud?
Yeah, that sounds great. No problem, Alan. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Trevor Lane right there. You guys hear what Reggie Miller had to say about this Los Angeles Lakers roster? About this 33-7 team that sits atop the Western Conference? A team that's supposed to be championship or bust? Reggie Miller was on the Dan Patrick Show. Stay right here. This is ESPN LA 710. All right, Lakers got the Orlando Magic tomorrow. I got some Reggie Miller sound that I want to play for everybody. Reggie Miller was on the Dan Patrick Show. Reggie Miller has some comments about this Los Angeles Lakers roster, and it's, I don't want to say a little bit surprising, kind of surprising, just with everybody's view on the Los Angeles Lakers.
The Lakers are stacked. People may not like their roster, but I like the experience they have. Dudley, Rondo, McGee has won a championship up in Golden State. Howard has something to prove, so I want players that have that want to, you know, go out and, you know, prove people wrong. The Lakers are stacked. I wouldn't do something drastically to alter this lineup being 35-7 and having the best record out west.
All right, so that's Reggie Miller on Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show. So look, Miller's take is very simple. And there's a lot of Laker fans that have this view as well. You don't have to go out and make some significant trade. And by the way, I don't think the Lakers would do that. You know, they have great chemistry already. You're going to make tweaks. And those tweaks are going to bring in what you hope are the right veterans, somebody with championship experience, somebody who's been in the league for a long time. That's what the Lakers would do if they make a move. Nobody's saying that they're going to go out and shop half their roster like they were doing last year come trade deadline trying to get Anthony Davis. You know, that was obviously a different scenario. You're not 33-7 and you shop your entire team. You're not 33-7 and you have three, four different players that get moved from your roster right before the trade deadline, because there's a big part of this that also has to do with the chemistry. And I don't feel like that's going to be the case with the Lakers. I feel like the Lakers, you're playing chess, you're a couple pieces away, you feel like a move here and a move there, and this obviously is coming from Rob Pelinka, this is coming from the Lakers front office, this is coming from the Buss family, that you feel that if you make a move or grab a player in the buyout, that now you're the one everybody's chasing for. That's all this NBA trade deadline and this buyout is. Is everyone going to be chasing you? Or are you one of three, four teams that all have a chance at an NBA championship, but it's pretty even par? Or are you behind the group? We don't know what another team's going to do. We don't know what the Rockets are going to do. We don't know what the Clippers are going to do. We have no idea what some of these teams are going to do. But I do feel like there is going to be times where the Lakers and the Clippers are both going after the same player. And whoever lands that player, that could be the team that's in front. That could be the team that everybody's chasing. Yesterday, after the Lakers beat up on the Cleveland Cavaliers 128-99. I spent a lot of time in the postgame show talking about Dwight Howard and just kind of really what's happened to Dwight this season and how crazy it is to be seeing at Staples Center the fan base rooting for Dwight, where for the last 5-6 years there was nothing positive to talk about with Dwight Howard. Here's Coach Frank Vogel yesterday postgame. In the locker room, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
I did anticipate that he, you know, if he came in and his attitude was right and his role acceptance was, you know, what we had hoped it would be, that he could be a heck of a piece, a heck of an asset for us. And so I did anticipate that he could have a strong impact, maybe not as much as he's having. I mean, he was a monster tonight, 21-15.
It's not even just the numbers for Dwight. The 21-15 are great. That obviously just, you're going to have nights like that every once in a while. It's not going to be every single night that Dwight's going to produce like that. But the beauty, seeing what Dwight's doing, is this. The beauty is LeBron's going to get you 25 a night with 11 assists. AD's going to get you 25 a night with 11 rebounds. That's what those two are going to do on a night-in-night-out basis. Dwight's doing exactly what the Lakers have asked him to do. Grab rebounds, block shots, play defense, alter shots on the other end, get some lobs here and there. And if you can do that, Dwight, you're going to have success with the Los Angeles Lakers this year. If he gives the Lakers 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks, we're praising his name, as we should be. But I think Dwight's redemption story, it just kind of dawned on me, not just yesterday, it's dawned all season, but yesterday I think it hit home a little bit more. The Laker crowd loves Dwight Howard. They enjoy watching Dwight Howard roll up his sleeves and go to work every day for the Lakers. you never have to question whether Dwight's going to give you the right energy, if Dwight's going to be that impact player off the bench. Dwight's going to bring it every single night. Maybe he shows up in the box score, maybe he doesn't show up in the box score. But you know, every single night that Dwight plays, he's going to bring that effort and that energy. I was telling Ireland, we were talking, doing Purgatory with Mason in Ireland, and I was asking him because KCP came up. I'm like, is KCP the most consistent player for the Lakers this year off the bench? And he said, probably Dwight first. He's right. It is Dwight. It's interesting, Funches. The energy around Dwight Howard, when he gets a block shot and he waves his finger into the crowd, he kind of owns Laker fans right now.
Crowd goes crazy?
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's crazy that, you know, before the season started, nobody wanted him on a team.
He dunks. You know, he has a lob and he yells and roars into the crowd, or, you know, he flexes his muscles. He's definitely got Laker fans at attention. And let me tell you why Laker fans love him. It's because he's helping the Lakers win, and he's not trying to be something that he's not. You know what I hated about Dwight in some of his other stops?
Yeah.
I hated when he called for the ball down low.
I hear you.
And wanted to kind of have the offense run through him.
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing right now, this is exactly how Dwight Howard should have been playing over the last 5, 6, 7 years. If he just played this kind of role when he was younger, he'd be 20-10 a night with 3 blocks, no question about it.
It's interesting watching him playing and his reactions on the bench whenever, you know, LeBron had an awesome play or AD. He really goes crazy and gets a crowd involved. Like I saw last night when LeBron
got
had
a
like
positive energy.
Yeah, I saw last night when LeBron had a no-look pass to Danny Green under the basket. He's over there doing binocular signs or something like that.
You know what would have been better than Dwight joining the slam dunk contest?
What's that?
Getting in that 3-point contest.
That would have been great.
What is he this year?
He's got three of them. Yeah.
I mean, what more do you need to see?
And I got one stat. And
if you're the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, what more do you need to see to start running 3-point plays for Dwight Howard off a timeout?
He's got more.
Come on, coach.
He's got more 3-pointers than Ben Simmons, Alan.
Is Ben still not shooting any threes?
He's got Ben Simmons got 2 to Dwight Howard's 3.
Ben's
got
to start practicing threes. Dwight's practicing threes. Every time I go out there and I see these guys warming up, Dwight, before he leaves, he's taking like 25 threes. Guy's taking some threes. All right, let's do this. We got our Power 5. This is what we're ranking. So we know the Lakers have a very, very tough schedule coming up in the rest of January here. What we are going to do is rank the top 5 toughest games left in January. And then we'll do our look ahead. We'll predict the Lakers. Only 2 games, actually, this week for the Lakers. We'll give our predictions. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. All right, some quick updates here around the NBA. Lakers 33-7, Utah 28-12, Denver 27-12. So there's 2 and 3 right now for the Western Conference, and then right after that you got the Clippers, you got the Rockets, the Mavs, Oklahoma State Thunder. So it gets kind of clustered. What's crazy, Funch, is you know who's in the you know who's in the 8th spot?
Oh, I know who's in the 8th spot. Memphis.
Memphis in the 8th spot.
It's crazy.
Memphis, by the way, earlier tonight played the Houston Rockets.
Don't tell me they won.
121-110, they beat the Rockets.
Get out of here. Wow.
Ja Morant. What did Morant Ja Morant have tonight? Yeah, they beat them. Ja Morant had 26 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds.
Do you really think they can make that 8th seed? Do you really think they can?
James Harden had 41 points and took 37 shots and was 5 of 19 from the 3-point line.
Jeez.
Harden took 19 3-pointers.
What if it's the Lakers and the Grizzlies in the first round?
Okay, let's just say right now this is how the playoff picture would look. I don't really want to play the Spurs, to be honest with you. I don't want to play Spurs. Spurs are 4 games below 500, and they're right there.
And they're always dangerous with Pop.
Memphis is 4 games below 500, and they're in the 8th spot. So I don't know what's going on with the 8th spot, but basically every team in the Western Conference still has a chance of making the playoffs.
And don't forget Portland. Portland's down there, too.
Portland's right there. But Portland's 7 games below 500, so the West is all jacked up. If the playoffs started right now, Lakers would play Memphis. Clippers and Rockets would be a first-round matchup.
Yeah.
And then the winner of that series would play the Lakers in the second round. That can happen.
And let me tell you what, Houston would have a good shot at knocking out the Clippers. I think they already got one on the Clippers.
Denver and Utah are praying to avoid the Lakers until the Western Conference Finals, right? I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, you want to face them as late as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what would happen. All right. Enough blabbing on. Let's do our Power Five. Whatever music that we end up changing in the show, I think this is the one theme that we've never changed, and I don't think we ever will change.
No. This is great.
This is a staple.
This is a staple. A radio staple, yes.
Okay, so this is what we're doing our Power Five tonight. We're ranking the top five toughest games left in the month of January. So for Laker fans out there that want to play along with us, very simple of what the Lakers got left in the month of January. I'm going to list out these games, and then Funches will start listing them, okay?
Okay.
So they still got Orlando tomorrow, at Houston, at Boston, at New York, at Brooklyn, at Philadelphia. That's part of a five-game road trip that the Lakers go on. Other than the Houston game, it's a four-game East Coast road trip when they start against Boston. Then Clippers at home. And they end the month on January 31st, home game against the Portland Trailblazers. So let's rank these out. This is our Power Five. Who you got number five as the toughest game left in January?
You're gonna think I'm crazy.
I'm not, and we're probably gonna both be on the same one.
Gonna think I'm crazy, but I'm gonna say number five for me is New York Knicks.
Okay,
it's not just because of the Knicks and who's on the Knicks or whatever.
No, you're
it's
crazy.
Just New York.
You're crazy. You're crazy. Keep
just
going.
Going on a road trip to New York. You know, you might have a night out in New York the night before. You know, you might want to wild out. There's going to be beautiful babies sitting in the front row, so you're going to try to play your hardest and stuff like that. So, New York is number five for me.
So they'll play Boston, and then they'll have a night off on Tuesday. That Tuesday, they'll get to New York.
I'm telling you, you're going to have a night off, man. They're
people go out on Tuesday?
Of course.
Can they beat the Knicks and then go out? Well, the dangerous game then would be Brooklyn. Because if they beat the Knicks and go out in New York, then they play Brooklyn the next night. And Brooklyn's a much better team than the Knicks.
I'm thinking about the night before when they get into town. Like the night before the Knicks game. Because I think that's when they're going to get to New York.
And you got
a
case.
Yeah.
Not going to argue that case. For me, number five is Brooklyn. I just remember playing Brooklyn in the preseason about 38 times. Literally, we played them, I think, four out of the six games we played Brooklyn. Oh, no, we played Brooklyn twice. We played Golden State four times. But I remember playing Brooklyn, and they were a problem for the Lakers. Now that Kyrie's back, this is the only game of the year that Brooklyn's get a chance to, obviously see Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I'm going to say that Brooklyn game is the fifth toughest game of the remaining schedule in January. What do you got, number four?
Number four, I got Philly. The game in Philly, which is the last game of our road trip, the 25th.
Which is always the toughest game.
And, I don't know if Embiid's going to be back by next week. I know he has we talked about his finger injury, and he could be out another week or two. But if he does come back, it's going to be a tall task for the Lakers.
So Lakers don't play him for 11 days. So he may be back by then, January 25th.
11 days, he might be back by then.
So I actually got Philly at number four as well. I thought Philadelphia, you've heard me say this a number of times, I thought the Sixers were the best team in the Eastern Conference. That's what I thought was going to happen. When they added Al Horford, obviously Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris on that team, they got a good team. But they've been one of the more, I think, disappointing teams in the Eastern Conference.
I'll say that they have the best starting five in the league, but they're one of the worst benches in the league.
Well, they're sitting right now in the East. They're sitting at sixth at 25-16. Indiana's in front of them. Toronto's in front of them. Miami, Boston. Who would have thought all those teams would be in front of them? So the Philadelphia 76ers, I got number four. Who you got number three?
Number three, I got the Houston Rockets, which is the first game of the road trip on the 8th, which is this Saturday, actually, in prime time. Houston, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, always a tough task. You know, that combo right there. And, you know, Harden's going to be looking to score 50 points on LeBron.
You're not going to like my number three.
Go ahead, man.
I got the Clippers in number three.
Why so down? Why so
this is why I got
number three?
Let me tell you why. We're 0-2 against the Clippers. I mean, if you can't get up for this game against the Clippers, I don't know what game you're going to get up for. Mm-hmm. And I like how Jared Dudley did say earlier in the show that, this does mean something. You do look at records, and you know that you're 0-2 against
them. I'm glad a player admitted that.
Yeah, and by the way, you know they all think that. They just don't tell us that. They don't put bulletin board material up there. I got the Clippers at number three. I know that's the best team out of all the teams that the Lakers are playing, but it's at Staples Center, as in a Lakers home game. And it's a team that, look, we've gone 0-2 against the Clippers. It is critical and important that we get that win. I think the Lakers will make that a priority against the Clippers. I got them at number three. Who you got number two?
Number two, I got the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
We play them on the 20th, on that Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, it's always a tough, tough game when you go to Boston and face the Celtics, because there's always going to be 1,000 or so, or 10,000 Boston Celtic fans going to be, you know, talking trash to the Lakers.
Oh, it's going
to
be whatever, you know, that
like,
capacity
like it's the,
is.
Like it's the 80s or whatever, sure, you know. Sure. So the Boston is number two on my
list. So Boston's number two for you. I got the Rockets at number two. And I got the Rockets at number two for the mere fact that we've never played them. We haven't played them this season.
Yeah.
So I think we're like curious to see, okay, well, how do we match up against them?
Yeah, I'm curious to
if
see
they
how
move
that
the ball
up
and down. It's at Houston. So I think we'll beat the Rockets, but I think it's one of those games we just don't know enough about the Rockets.
You know, it's going to be a good matchup because Houston's strength is the backcourt and the Lakers' strength is the front
down
court.
Low.
So,
yeah,
you know, we're going to see how that clashes.
You're number one?
Number one for me? Who else? The Clippers. You're down, the Lakers are down 0-2 to the Clippers right now, and they have to win this game.
You got to not only get that game, it's got to be I think it's got to be a comfortable win, too. You know, I think there's a mental part of this that the Lakers
they can't win
important.
By a game, like a LeBron three-pointer or something like that.
Listen, if they win, it's good, but they got to, you know, you got to have a little bit of a convincing win against the Clippers when you're 0-2 against them. My number one is the Boston Celtics. Celtics actually have a pretty good team. I didn't think they'd be second place in the Eastern Conference right now, and I know they're only a half a game in front of the Miami Heat, but 27-11 after they lost Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, that's pretty damn impressive. So that's what I got.
I'm really impressed that they're still hanging around in the East and like still the
they're
top.
They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere,
no,
man.
No, they're not going anywhere. They got and that's a sustainable kind of run. They got so many young players too that they're going to build off of. They're going to build off of Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus
remember
Smart.
They had all like 10 first round draft picks though, like 2 years ago.
That. Yeah, I do remember that. I think they were stockpiling all those for a big time deal. And
yeah, it didn't happen. Didn't
well,
happen.
They got Kyrie, but the Kyrie part that obviously didn't work out.
Of course, yeah.
They need a front court player. That's what they need.
Yeah, they do.
All right, a quick look ahead. Who the Lakers face this week? We'll give our quick predictions here. Tomorrow at home against the Orlando Magic. W or loss? What do you got there?
I'm going to say win, obviously. This Orlando Magic.
All right. By the way, I feel like Orlando gives us a little bit of problems. They're 19-21. They're not as bad as you think they as you think they are. And then the last one is the Houston Rockets on Saturday. What do you think about that game?
I think they get the Lakers get a loss. I think Houston comes out really, really hyped up. They're at home.
To play the Lakers?
Yeah, and the Lakers are the number one team in the West, so they're going to have something to prove.
I say 2-0 this say 2-0
man.
This week. Yeah, 2-0 this week. I think they can handle the Rockets. I think by the time that first half is over, we'll have a good idea of what the Rockets do, and hopefully the head coach and everybody else makes their adjustments, and Lakers handle the Rockets in the Orlando Magic.
Alan, I got a quick update on what's going on across the street. The
Man, Clippers, not good. Already not good. I could already tell.
Yeah, the Clippers are up 76-59.
Let me tell you something. Every time I start talking trash about, the Cavs Nation and all this, every time I do that, Clippers end up winning, so I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore. Couple quick thank yous. Thank you to Michael Funches. Thank you to Laura Romo Lopez. Appreciate everybody that called into the broadcast. Don't forget, Lakers Talk on the app, on iTunes. You can catch all that stuff. Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. Tomorrow, Lakers taking on the Magic. Tune in the morning with Travis, Keyshawn, and LZ. Soccer Weekly coming up right now. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a good week.